last week we looked at the fact that that I think last week the struggle is that we can, when we get in the storms of life, the difficulties, the afflictions, that we can easily think that God has forgotten us. What this chapter is saying is that it's easy in prosperity or success for us to forget God. And that's what you see in the last chapter that we studied, Where is Your Faith? When Jesus was asleep in the boat with the disciples, they felt like he had forgotten them. And yet in this case, where Peter, ever so quickly, he fell quickly, but he jumped out of the boat in great faith, great success, and then he immediately fell, because so often Scripture tells us that that can happen. Taught Sunday school a couple weeks ago, and you wouldn't be surprised that I was using Pilgrim's Progress, but one of the principles, two of the principles come out of Pilgrim's Progress, and it's clearly taught over and over again in Scripture, and that is that we can tend to think that God's forgotten us and the difficulties, but the narrow road is a hard and difficult path. But another thing that I brought out and I think is very important, we see in this passage, and that is the exposure to spiritual danger often comes right on the heels of great spiritual delight. In this passage, it's important for us to remember that. I want to read it real quick. So Matthew 14, I'm not going to read it. You've read the passage, but it's important for us to realize the context of it. Remember, right before this passage, when Jesus, at the beginning of it, said he sent them, put them in the boat and sent them over to the other side immediately. Remember, right before that, he had just, the miracle of feeding the 5,000. He had just done this incredible miracle that the disciples experienced. Great spiritual delight. And it's often on the heels of great spiritual delight that spiritual danger is lurking. And that's what happened with Peter. So the way he outlines this chapter, I've changed it a little bit. Three points that I would just mention quickly that he's shown us in this passage. The first one that I would say, where he deals with temperament, don't be so decisive. Don't be so decisive. Now, I've made a comment how most every chapter, Martin Lloyd-Jones is attacking the introverted temperament. That's mine. And I thought finally he decided he's going to attack another temperament, more of the high-charging, energetic, high-D personality. So I felt much better. My personality, my personality tends to be steady. And that's a real strength that you're steady. Now for me, one of the main problems in my type of personality is that steadiness can become stalemate, and it can become a stalling and a statue, and then paralyzed by fear, paralyzed by perfection. And so I need to make quicker decisions. But in this case, the high D, the problem with Peter we see in here is his impulsiveness. Quick decisions. And so for the person, now we can all, I'm supposed to not be an impulsive person, but I've been many times over the course of my life, and high D's are supposed to be very impulsive and decisive, always without thinking, and many of them have been very steady. So we have to submit our personalities and temperaments to the Lord, trust him. But for the high D, and for the person who is extremely decisive and confident in his decisions, I would just say two practical ways to work on this biblically, in this idea of don't be so decisive, is one, ask others for advice. You saw Charles talking about that as he talked to his dad and other mentors in his life. Ask others for advice. That's hard for a person who's very decisive, very confident, and always making decisions to ask others. The second thing they need to do, which is even more difficult, is gladly do what other people tell you sometimes. Sometimes it's very important. It's a great discipline just for a person who's very decisive, high D, makes quick decisions. Slow down. Don't be so decisive. Ask another Christian or Christians how they would handle a situation. And if they tell you how they would handle it, and it's totally different than what you think, sometimes it'd be good just to do what they said, just to learn that whole idea of submitting to others, of being not so quick to do, but to listen and to learn. and that's hard. So first point, don't be so decisive. The second point, and he brings that out in different ways. The second point I would say is doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts. Not doubt your decisions, but doubt your doubts. You see, Charles said after he made a wise decision, he reflected on it, he prayed about it, he sought good counsel, he made a wise decision. But then he said, I begin to second guess myself, my decision. Well, what new information did he have that may have caused him to think this was a bad decision? Well, he didn't have any. He said, my reasons for doubting weren't that biblically I didn't make a good decision. It was my loneliness, my self-pity. And we have to doubt our doubting and make sure that we stay firm in our decisions. In last week, remember the question that Martin Lloyd-Jones brought out, when storms come and are all around us, we need to ask, where is my faith? Am I focusing my faith on my problems? In this case, we need to understand and ask the question of why am I doubting? Why did I doubt? And when Peter jumped out of the boat and he began to doubt, he saw the waves, he took his eyes off Christ. And so we have to learn to doubt our doubts. And I love what John Piper says in his book where he talks about William Cowper, who wrote some of the great hymns. He wrote, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. He dealt with despair and depression his whole life. And John Piper said that you've got to learn to doubt your despairing thoughts. We've got to doubt our feelings. So Charles had to doubt his loneliness. And Peter had needed to doubt his terror, but not his decision to jump out and trust Christ. Final point, and we'll be done. And that is, we've got to don't be so decisive. Really reflect, doubt your doubts, and then finally fortify your faith. He said the problem with doubts when they attack us is that it attacks our faith, and we have weak faith. Remember last week he said, when problems come, we think that automatically faith ought to kick in and we would be like a superhero. And we don't even have to work to apply our faith to our difficult situations. Well, here, the only way faith is going to be strengthened is if we keep growing in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spends a lot of time talking about knowing who Christ is, studying who he is. That's what it means to keep our eyes on him. And so we've got to fortify our faith. And not just think that it exists there. And we do that by learning more, by growing in wisdom, by seeking him, by prayer, all of the things that we know. It's not a magic formula. It's just that we keep doing that. We continue to look at him. I love what Charles said about Robert McShane. He said, for every one look at your sin and yourself, you need 10 looks at Christ. Study John Owen on overcoming sin. I said it was a 1 to 5 for every one look. 5 looks at Christ. I like 10 looks better. Keeping your eyes on Christ. Keep focusing on him and what he has to say. And those are the things that we've got to on and apply in our lives. And then finally, I would say just in conclusion, as Charles said, he had to go back. And one of the things he realized, he had to go back to the basics. And that is that God is sovereign. One thing he didn't share is that a pastor, a PCA pastor, down in Auburn had told him, said he used to say all the time, Calvinists, my brother says it a little different way, but he said Calvinists always talk about and believe in the sovereignty of God until something bad happens. And so we've got to, it's in those times of trials and difficulties that we exercise our faith. The late Donald Gray Barnhouse, who was a pastor at Kent Pres in Philadelphia for years, heard a quote from him when I was a new Christian, and it stuck with me. And I think it sums up this chapter. And he says, you can never distrust yourself too much, and you can never trust God too much. I think for us, it's easy. It's hard for a high-charging person, decisive person, to think in terms of distrusting himself. But you can never distrust yourself too much. You can never trust God too much. If you're trusting him more and more and more, it will only mean that you're making wiser decisions more and more and more because you're not leaning on your own understanding, but you're trusting and leaning on him. And then finally he said, Martin Lloyd-Jones says, Christ will not let you fall finally. He reached in and picked him up. Ward Bursley has the picture behind him of Jesus reaching in the water. He's not going to let us fall finally. We learn from our mistakes, but we keep our faith fortified and trusting him. And then I loved how Martin Lloyd-Jones in this chapter with the passage in Jude, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before him in his glory with great joy. And then it says, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time, now and forever. Keep your eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who keeps you from falling. And in your small groups, to talk about practically, how do we do that? How do we keep our eyes on Christ? When storms come, we're tempted to think that God is not in the boat with us and has forgotten us. But we also, when we make steps forward, it's easy for us to forget God. Remember, it says in Jeremiah said, when I fed my people to the full, they committed adultery and gathered at the house of whores. When God blesses us, we tend to look to ourselves and not keep our eyes on Christ. So let's not be guilty of that and keep our hearts fortified in faith, doubting our own doubts and wrong feelings, and leaning on others and God's understanding and not our own. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for these men. And I do pray that even as they go in their discussion groups, that you would use this time to fortify their faith, to learn from one another, and to grow closer to you. Help us, Father, to keep our eyes on you and consider you constantly the author and perfecter of our faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.